Hey everybody, Jonathan Ruggles here, your host for Between Two Humidors. Happy 2025. I'm excited to share we've got a new episode to start the year off with none other than Mr. John Pugh, owner and entrepreneur of the Cigar Chapel in Bend, Oregon. Great conversation. We talked about the do's and don'ts in a cigar lounge, the history of the chapel, and actually how it got its name, and a lot of other really fun topics. Also did breaking news talk about a first of its kind cigar event in Central Oregon coming this summer in August. You're going to want to listen to hear the breaking news. All right, everybody, again, Happy New Year. Enjoy the conversation and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, I think we are in, Mr. John Pugh.
Good morning.
And a very good morning to you.
How are you liking your new surroundings?
You know what? It's really hard to complain, so I can't and I won't. It is a beautiful day here in La Quinta. I think it's supposed to be 70. It's sunny, blue sky.
We're only 20 degrees behind you. It's going to be 50 today.
Oof. But is the sun out? That's what matters.
Oh, yeah. Sunny, blue, bluebird. Okay. I've been on the mountain the last 2 days. It's been sick.
I was wondering. In fact, I want to get into that aspect of the conversation with skiing. So we'll get there. But that, so just dry powder?
Yeah. Okay. It is really cold and clear. Yesterday was 40 and clear, so yeah, nice, almost spring-like, corn-like.
Nice. Well, hey, you know, it's so funny. I ask everybody who's ever listened to this, I'm like, well, hey, did you watch it? And that percentage of people who actually watch it is fairly low. So I think for the people who are just on audio, I should probably mention, welcome to the Between Two Humidors podcast. And my guest today is Mr. John Pugh, the owner of the Cigar Chapel. And John, I have been so excited for this conversation for a myriad of reasons. It's good to see you, sir.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And what's really fun is to see you in my chair in your chapel.
Little swappage there. Yeah.
A little swappage. That's fantastic. Well, I am at a great lounge here in La Quinta. It's called the Hideaway Cigar Club here in La Quinta. John, This place is pretty fantastic.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. They got little offices or rooms that you can use or?
Well, so here's what they've done. Todd is the owner, nice guy. I'm sure he's an asshole, but so far he's a nice guy, right? But anyway, he's got this pretty large room, and the humidor actually sections off the retail space from the lounge. So it kind of goes into the whole Hideaway concept, which is pretty nice. In the corner, he's got this elevated kind of a stage with a nice desk on it. So I'm here back into the corner, and I can kind of see the entire lounge. It's a pretty sweet setup.
Overlooking. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, no, it's good to be down here. Although I have to say, not to get too mushy, I do miss the chap.
Well, we miss you, brother.
I appreciate that. Hey, was there a poker? Was it last week or is it tomorrow?
It's going to be this week. It was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, and then I'm going to be back on the 30th to take somebody's money. Awesome. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, yeah, so super excited to be here. So I've got a couple things I certainly want to talk to you about, and, you know, I'm just going to right out of the gate ask you this one question, because when I mentioned that we were going to do this interview, I had more than one person say, can you please ask John for his opinion, his experience, what are the do's and don'ts in a lounge? And, you know, I mean, I'm sure you could YouTube it, you know, there's probably etiquette and all those things, but for you in Bend, Oregon, chapel owner, your career, give me some do's and don'ts. I'm going to let you take the floor.
Okay, then. Well, I guess the A number one thing is stop going into shops and asking where the Cubans are. Cubans are illegal in the U.S. We're not hiding them from you. They're inferior to all the cigars that I sell here, other than maybe a couple.
Okay.
There's no Cubans here. There's no Cubans in most of the shops. And I bet you if there's some shops that said they have them, they're not Cubans either.
All right.
So there's that, I guess. If the shop happens to have tools, cutters, lighters, things like that, try not to slobber up your cigar in your mouth, get it all good and lubed up before you use my cutter and cut the end off. You'd be amazed how many people don't think about that.
Okay, maybe I did that once. And here's the beauty of it. Not only did I just do it once, but guess who I did it in front of?
Huh. Would it be Dan?
Oh, my God. That was... I only did it once.
And there you go. You were gently reminded.
Oh, I don't think there was anything gentle about it, but okay.
I guess the other, just walking into someone's shop, someone's business, being nice, sitting down and ripping out your own cigar. Unfortunately, I'm not a clubhouse. This is a business. Yeah. I'm letting you use my Wi-Fi, the TVs and everything like that. So when you go into a shop, especially that you've never been in before, don't assume that you can just sit down and light up the cigar that you brought in your pocket. Go in, buy something, maybe talk to the person working that you really wanted to smoke the cigar that you brought, but I am buying these two cigars here. Generally not going to have a problem that way.
Yeah, tipping helps too.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, a good tip doesn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Gosh, as for etiquette, this is some things that, you know, people don't know if they're kind of new into it. When you're done smoking your cigar, just set it in the ashtray. Don't smash it. Rub it in, break it all apart, make everything. Something about that process makes it stink. I don't actually know what it is, the blowing up, the rubbing it in, but it gives off a bad smell. If you're not puffing off your cigar once every 2 minutes, it's going out. So just let it go out. We'll dispose of it in our metal can, and that's that.
Okay.
Yeah. What else?
May I offer one?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I have to kind of chuckle because. The one thing about the social side of the lounge, in particular yours, is kind of the game scene, meaning the cribbage scene. And the cribbage scene at the chapel has been at times incredibly intense, to the point of where I know myself and maybe one or two of the other regulars who you probably know who they are. We kind of look at each other and go, what the absolute fuck? You need to shut up, stop yelling. There are other people trying to enjoy the lounge. I don't give a shit if they owe you 35 cents.
Yeah, we probably need to rein that in a little bit. They get a little carried away.
And by the way, these are the same people that will drop $200 in a poker game, not even blink. But by God, if you owe them 25 cents in a cribbage game. Anyway, it just blows me away. Blows me away. Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, let's take a quick corner here. Let's go back in time a little bit. And I think I shared with you earlier that getting to know you over these past couple of years, you know, I'm usually good for a question or two at the lounge. So I feel like I've kind of heard some good stories, but I am going to ask this. So let's see here. Is it true you worked for Specialty Cigars when Mary owned it? Is that right?
That is correct. A good friend of mine, Steve, was the vice president of the company.
Okay.
And Specialty's main, what they do is they sell cigars wholesale to golf courses. Okay. They own the exclusive rights to sell cigars to the TPC courses across the United States. And they had this massive humidor here, and they decided, well, why don't we open this up to the public and have a retail shop? And Steve brought me in, knowing that I like cigars, had some retail experience. And, I basically managed the retail store for Specialty off and on 16 years.
I don't think I knew it was that long, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I quit twice, and I was fired twice, but I kept coming back.
and Mary kept bringing you back. That's fantastic. Yeah. I think I shared with you, there was a point in time where I actually did some business with Mary Schell. And at least from my perspective, she was really wonderful to work with. And we were kind of bringing some operational kind of consulting with the old BlackBerry device back in the day. That's a whole nother story. But I'm sure I had to have crossed paths with you. This would have been in maybe 2005, 6 or 7, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh. We'd be in the new store at that point.
Correct.
Yep. We've been in Bend. It's kind of funny. That's my fight. There's been a cigar store on this corner for 23 years. And people still come in and go, wow, I didn't know you were here. How long has this shop been here? So, yeah, thus advertising, yeah. Word of mouth, everything we can to get it out there. But, before being here, they were on the opposite corner of the same block for, I think, 12 years prior to that.
Which was called the old cigar building.
Yes. Yep, it was the old cigar building. It was very confusing when we moved out because everyone just assumed it. Company wasn't there anymore, and
yeah.
After the last business that was there.
And I don't know if you know this, but I actually had an office in the old cigar building for about almost 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's
you
nice,
had
it's the... a nice building. I really like how they remodeled it, what they did to it.
Oh, totally. No, it was a mm-hmm. really cool building. So you got kind of that glass front corner, and then my office was in the back. And the gentleman that owned the building, he had some partners. His name was Dan, and a real nice guy. He started G5 and did really well. Dan Hoban, just a really great guy. He did a good job. But one of the questions I have. So when did you buy Specialty? And then how did you get the name? Because I've asked you, but I want everyone else to know how you got the name.
Yeah, so Mary had some health issues, and they just decided to leave Bend. They liquidated all their businesses, all their buildings, their house. I believe they live in Arizona. I've not been in touch with them at all. But the largest cigar company on the planet, General Cigar, was very interested in buying those exclusive rights to those golf courses and such.
I'm sure.
So General, the top dudes from General came into Bend and looked at the area and what was going on here. And the first thing they said is they wanted nothing to do with the retail shop. They said,
right,
shut
out of the
that
gate.
Down.
Yeah.
And then they offered her lots and lots of money for her business. It was someone else who said, you know, that's really another business. I mean, it is attached to our business, but it has its own license. It's its own entity. I bet we could separate it and sell it, which they did do legally. And they came to me. Gave me first rights to take it or find my next boss in a nutshell. So I jumped on that big time.
I was just going to say, what an amazing opportunity. Yeah. I mean, obviously. Right.
Pretty lucky. I've acknowledge that. So yeah, rounded up some people, got some money together, and off we were. We bought it. So the next thing was we couldn't keep the name. So we had to come up with a new name.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a regular here. We called him Brooklyn Dave, the most Brooklyn guy you could think of when you think of someone from Brooklyn. Okay. Dave Bassano. And he pulled me aside when he found out this was going on, kind of. It wasn't open yet to the public, but he said that he always had a dream of opening a cigar shop himself. In the Brooklyn area where he lived, and he had all these plans, and he had a name, and he realized at this point in his life that he would much rather hang out at my shop than open his own shop back in Brooklyn. Mm. It just wasn't going to happen anymore. And so he said that he gave me the name that he was going to use for his shop. And I got to say, initially it was sounded a little churchy for me. Mm-hmm. But what he said, do you know what a chapel is? Well, it's church. And he goes, that's true. But if you Google it, what is the meaning of a chapel? Mm-hmm. And it's a gathering place for like-minded individuals. And as soon as I saw that, it was a done deal. This is a cigar chapel.
Well, totally. Bingo. And in terms of like-minded people, I mean, I don't have to tell you. I mean, everybody I've met there and built friendships with and relationships, I mean, mm-hmm. it is a sanctuary, right? I think even in your commercial, it's the – what is it? It's the sanctuary.
The cigar smoker sanctuary, yeah. That's right. Kind of our tagline, yeah.
Well, it works. So yeah. See how it just rolled off my tongue?
Yeah.
That's interesting that you saw the opportunity on the retail side and really the focus was wholesale. Well, it's kind of funny,
being that I managed it forever, I had a really tight leash in what I could do. She kind of had her ways, and that's fine. It's her business. Run any way she wants. But I was constantly saying, you know, we should do this. We should carry that. And we should change our hours. I mean, we're not open on Sundays. That seems kind of silly. We're missing football and baseball, right. Things like that. And she wouldn't listen to my management ideas on that. And I'm glad she didn't.
She had a different focus.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm glad she didn't, because I didn't reinvent retail. I got better hours. I have better cigars. I have better prices. That's all I did. And it took off.
Big time. Yeah, the Bend market is just so interesting. The Central Oregon mm-hmm. market is so interesting.
We've got the locals, which most people know. This is Bend. This is kind of a more affluent area. Mm-hmm. So I'm very lucky with that. There's 45 golf courses within an hour's drive in any direction from Bend. So we get all the golfers, everything like that. Now with the new laws, most of the golf courses don't sell cigars anymore. So they kind of got to come to me if they want to have a cigar on the course.
Yes. Speaking of golf
courses. And then being that we have the golf courses and Mount Bachelor and all the other fun things, we have a constant tourist people coming in. Right. So I get a whole new base every week. Whole new people. People hang out. You see it. Get to know new people.
That is awesome. And that's very unique. It's very unique.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to come back to golf courses, because actually I had a nice conversation with the owner of this place. His name is Todd, and he's got something actually I want to talk to you about, which could be interesting. Another opportunity potentially. So we're going to circle back, and of course I'm going to make an announcement on Between Two Humidors about it. Not ready to do it yet, but it's small, but it's big. It's kind of fun, and it definitely goes into the golf course market. So we'll talk about that.
Right on.
We have 45 courses. Is that what you said in Central Oregon?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's a lot of golf courses for our area.
Yeah, high end. a good fraction of them. But then you've got, you know, the cheaper ones that you can still go and have fun, and they're great courses. Juniper, Crooked River, River's Edge.
Isn't there one called like the Last Nine or something, or the Back Nine, something like that? It's south.
I don't know them all. There's one in La Pine, Quails Run. That is beautiful. That thing's a lot of fun.
I've been told that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
it's so bizarre. Everybody I meet down here, they're like, "Do you golf?" I'm like, "No, no, I can't stand golf. I hate it. No, absolutely not." I do have a bag of clubs though that I'll sell somebody. So,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I have back issues, degenerative disc disease, and I can't golf anymore. I can't do the rotation.
But you can ski.
I can ski. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's beautiful. Beautiful. All right. This morning, I was thinking about kind of our conversation today. And actually, I think I've got a new question for you. I don't think I've ever asked this. Yes. Okay.
Bring it on.
Okay. So let's go back in time. You bought the shop. You're looking at, which really is the gem of your shop, the humidor. And like I said, I mean, the Hideaway, pretty good humidor. Your humidor is, listen, I mean, I haven't been to all the lounges, all the shops, clearly across the country, but it is a jewel that you have in there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Here's my question. When you took over the shop, what was the first new brand that you brought in? Do you remember?
So I have a unique friendship with Illusione and the guys there. And that was going to be my first brand. I let them know that I bought the shop, and they said they had all this limited edition stuff that no one else had. They're going to load me up with. Problem was, in Oregon, it took almost 3 months for me to get my retail license. So
you had the tobacco license, right? You had the tobacco license.
I misspoke there. There wasn't a retail. It took 3 months to get the tobacco license.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
I had to buy from wholesalers. And wholesalers generally don't have most of the fun stuff that I carry. But it did kind of open my eyes again to... it was enough time in the summer when the golfers were coming, and I kind of realized what people wanted a little more. I really was going to ban all heritage cigars.
Give the definition of that. Yeah, give the definition of that. Give the definition of
heritage. Heritage cigars are cigars that you probably recognize by name. Macanudo, Punch, La Gloria, Partagas, Cohiba. Okay. Those companies have been around forever. They are the standard, but they're the Budweisers of cigar. Okay. They're owned by major corporations. They are motivated by money. A lot of them don't even have their own blenders anymore. They hire out who the hot new blender guy is to make their hot new cigar. I find that weird.
Okay.
So it was the day before I got my license. I didn't know it was going to show up in the mail the next day, but I was invited to Tony Bellotto, La Barba Cigars, to his birthday party up in Washington. So I went up there and met most of the Caldwell gang for the very first time and smoked some of my first Caldwell and La Barba cigars. And that really opened my eyes to some things that I didn't even know that were out there. And the first would be the La Barba line. And then I brought in Caldwell. Those were actually the first lines that I got. And it was just because I was at a birthday party the day I got the license.
I love serendipity. I absolutely love it. That's fantastic. And so, okay, so with those two new brands, those two new bands that you brought in the market that you had there, give me a time frame. When is this? 2000 and what? When you did that?
I opened the doors. It was 7/7/17.
Okay. So, what was the reception like when you started selling these new brands?
Oh, it was awesome because I was that was part of my issue is being there weren't a lot of employees. Not only do I manage, but I work here most every day. I hear people constantly, what do you have new? What do you have new? What do you have new? And then the tourists would come in and say, you know, I don't want to show them a $30 cigar if they're looking for $8 cigars. So I try to find out how much they want to spend. And they're constantly telling me, I want to spend $30. I don't have $30 cigars. I can show you two great ones for $15. So I kind of knew that this was available out there. And so I just went for it. I got nicer cigars. Nicer cigars do cost a little bit more. And mm-hmm. It was immediate. It was immediate. Just people great just, feedback. Oh, look, something new, a whole new line, and not, you know, a whole new line, just not a new cigar. So there's 9 new cigars to try. And then La Barba comes in. And it was at that point just finding the best cigars that I could find at the best dollar point. I hate this time of year when everyone sends their email and tells us that it's price raise time. I don't look at it as I'm making more money. I look at it as my customers having to spend more money for the same thing.
Right.
So that's I have a problem bringing in cigars just because they're cigars now. It needs to be special. It needs to stand out. Or it needs to do that and have a really good price point. That's what I look for now.
Okay. So when did you bring in Illusione, speaking of them?
It was right after that. Yeah. Once I had the license, I called them up and brought them in. And I think I was told at the time I was the largest dealer at that point of Illusione.
Well, they make
in the Pacific Northwest. But since then, a lot of other shops have woke up to them and definitely has brought a lot more of it in.
Well, they make a great, as you know, I'm a new fan of Illusione. They make a great cigar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dion, he does an incredible job. His quality control is second to none.
Yeah. Excellent. So what is new? What's the latest brand that you've brought in, speaking of new?
Well, not necessarily brand, but I am smoking slightly highly limited new Warped, the New Day.
That's right.
I have a box over here, pretty sexy looking.
Absolutely.
So we got a phone call from the folks at Warped and said we were one of their top selling Warped dealers in the nation, and they were putting together a new project with a few other shops, and we got to build this cigar. They gave us questionnaires. Mm-hmm. We answered what we wanted, what size, what profile, I think even the wrapper leaf, and then sizes, and then samples just started rolling in, and we would give our idea what we thought of the samples. And it's really funny because almost all the shops agreed across the board on.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, the only thing that that I didn't get that I was hoping for is I really think that the Warp cigars in their smaller profiles have a little bit more flavor. I like Corona Gordas and things like that, but we did end up going with a Toro. But it came out very, very nice. So I got an Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper, all Nicaragua binder and fillers, and it's tasty. I'm liking it.
I do, and I've had that one, and I do like a good Sumatra wrapper for sure, or a Maduro. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I thought about doing an Oliva cigar this morning, but you know, I'm banned from smoking Oliva cigars. Not because they're not good; they're absolutely fabulous.
Yeah,
we won't go into that. You mentioned something that I'd like to mention or highlight, because you were talking about price points on cigars, and being a new California cigar smoker, there's a little bit of a sticker shock with the prices here. only because of the community and not for anything other than, you know, just the economics of where I'm at. But I'm looking at the box behind you. Is that the Tatuaje?
The Union, the Tatuaje, yeah. And my father. Yeah.
Yes. So when you were talking earlier about, you know, a $30 stick and how, you know, at the time, like, I don't have a $30 stick, but people keep asking for a $30 stick. I think I should mention that, like, for example, that La Union cigar, what do you sell that for?
$49.95.
Something like that. Okay, great. You and I both know that that same stick in Las Vegas, I won't name the lounge. There's no reason to do that. But that same stick in Las Vegas, I think when we were down there, was it like $199?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, wait, what? Holy shit. So you're telling me anyway. So
they got a lot of rent to pay there.
They do. And that particular lounge is pretty darn nice. So, which actually we should talk about that, because I believe it was at this lounge where I first kind of talked to you over a quad Jack and Coke about doing a podcast. It's a really nice lounge, of course. So I think it would be very appropriate for me to thank you, by the way, for helping Between Two Humors to get off the ground.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Yeah, in anything we can do to help and get the word of cigars out there.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and you helped get Caldwell. Which, speaking of Caldwell, by the way. You might remember, because you actually told me you listened to that one, so that was nice. But I asked him, you know, listen, if you're not smoking a Caldwell, what's your go-to after that? I'm very curious, right? I mean, he's been in the business a long time. He's an influencer. He makes some great blends. I mean, his cigars are pretty good. Do you remember what cigar he said that he liked?
You know, I don't remember the cigar, but I do think I remember him saying, Illusione, Dion.
Yep, exactly. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. All right. So maybe my palate is pretty good. So, yeah, I thought that was quite interesting for someone in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. For as popular as Caldwell is, I remember down in Vegas when you were at PCA, and I believe, was that your first PCA that you went to?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, had never with the other business, they weren't going to send me to go, and the it's you don't, as a cigar shop owner, you don't really need to go. You're getting most of the deals now over the internet during the time frame. It costs a lot to go to Vegas for 4 days and get rooms and food and all of that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just a small shop, just getting our foot off the ground, and that kind of money just wasn't necessary. We've been around a little while. We're doing a little bit better, and I finally wanted to meet these people I talked to on the phone and see on podcasts, cross on Instagram and things like that.
Well, it's kind of funny because so when I came back, right, now, and I was at the chapel, and people were like, well, how was PCA? And I said, well, two things. One, the conference, the event or whatever itself was very eye-opening. It was very cool. In fact, I went to the very first day when they had a lot of kind of like PCA business, which was kind of interesting. I said, so that was number one, right? I mean, it's just interesting. The amount of money that these brands spend on their booths is just mind-blowing. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, the Padron, the My Father, I mean, my God, it was pretty amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some of these, and then you got Wildfire, right, with the trailer, Jeremy. But that was great. That was great. But I was telling people. So the second thing that happened, I said, I don't know if you know this, but John Pugh pretty much is a rock star. I said, yeah, I was on this guy's coattails, and we were just walking around, And, you know, you got your beard, you kind of got your look. I think you were wearing, like a purple kind of a sport coat, I think?
Yeah, my smoking jacket, my velvet purple smoking jacket.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I'm like, son of a bitch, who am I? They're like, you'd go up to people and they knew who you were. And this is, you know, I'm, you know, 6'3", you're not. But I was like, I'm following this guy around. He is the rock star of PC. It was just really fun to just see the respect that you received as a cigar retailer. That was really cool. And so many people were thanking you. And that's one of the things that I love about cigar culture is just the relationships. And clearly, you've cultivated some pretty damn good relationships.
I've been around for a while.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going this year, yeah?
We're more than likely probably going, but I need to finish that up here.
Totally putting you on the spot. It's okay. It's no worries. Yeah, we're just gonna broadcast this. Yeah, but so it's my understanding that New Orleans actually had to change some laws, right, to have it there.
Yeah. So what did they do? I think they. So I've never even been there, but I've heard that it is very non-smoking, not smoking friendly everywhere, and they have either lightened the laws or removed the laws in certain areas. So we can do our thing. But this is something that they wanted to do. They lobbied very hard to get us, PCA, to go back there. They went and went out of their way to, try to make us want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be a pretty significant economic driver for downtown. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
So,
I think that'd be that's why I got to go, just because my people, all the cigar people, it'll be there. It'll be a great time to go and check out that beautiful area. Some cool people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of PCA, I'm going to be doing some guerrilla marketing because, as you know, I'm bringing a first time ever, hopefully it'll be a first annual cigar event in Bend.
I have heard rumors of this.
So we're going to be making an official announcement soon, but I'll give a teaser with the name. So this is going to be the first annual Bend Burn and Barrel event.
Cool.
It's going to be awesome. Yep. I've already secured the venues. So we've got two venues. We're going to be at Tether Row Resort. And we're also going to be, and I want to get the name right, because the marketing people really wanted to make sure I got it right. So here, I want to make sure I get it right. So we're also going to be at Bend Distillery, which is home of Crater Lake Spirits.
Yep.
Yeah. So those are locked in. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to do all the things, right? We're going to have some great cigars, some great whiskey, bourbon, scotch, all those things. Going to bring in a live band, which I think you might know who this live band is, because they were actually playing that event last year in September. And they were pretty good. So, yeah, the Bend Burn and Barrel event should be really good.
Right on. Yeah, I'm excited. That'll be fun. Fun time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun. So I'm going to be marketing the shit out of that thing in New Orleans. Because as we kind of talked about before, Bend and Central Oregon is very unique, right? I mean, a lot of people know about Bend. You know, Phil Knight has his home there. I mean, a lot of celebrities in the golf and the fly fishing and all the things. So really want to take advantage of the area, because it's not just about cigars. It's really about highlighting Bend. What does Danny call Bend? What does he call it? Like Benderly Hills or something like that?
Yeah. Benderly Hills. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He coined that pretty good. Okay, so we were talking about skiing kind of at the top of this whole thing. So you were working in retail, in the snow ski retail industry, is that right?
Yeah. I wanted to spend a year or two being a ski bum. So that's how I ended up in Bend, and I never left. It was 91 when I decided to move to Bend.
And, oh, really? From where?
Well, I grew up over in the valley, over by Eugene, Albany area.
Okay.
But it was really small rule. My high school was 125 students for all four classes. So I wanted to get out when I graduated. So I moved to Sacramento for about a year. Okay. And it was uber violent in the early 90s with gangs and things like that. And being from the country, moving to the city, I didn't like it. I had some friends that had moved to Bend, and there were a lot of opportunities. And I said, yeah, I want to do that. So I did it. Moved to Bend and scooted right into the ski industry. And I did that for almost 12 years, I think.
Okay. Now, you're just in retail. You didn't work at the mountain. You didn't do anything like
that. No, I worked at the ski shops in town. Was a tuner, sold stuff, boot fitter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. But, our stories. Oh, go ahead.
Well, that was their winter. To stay afloat during the summertime, they did scuba diving and water sports. And scuba that's diving really how in, I got Central into. Oregon? Uh-huh. So there's
I'm sorry, a lot that's of not stuff. That's not equating.
We're in the middle of Oregon, long ways away from the ocean, but there's a lot of lakes, a lot of high elevation lakes. There's a lot of people that want to learn to scuba dive. Really? So we would go into the local pool and do the classes, and we take them to the lakes. And I'll tell you, and you come out a certified diver in Central Oregon wearing 14 mil of wetsuits and 30, 40 pounds of weights around. It's a whole lot more fun when you go to Cozumel and you're just in your swim trunks.
Yeah, I could imagine that. And probably, well, we have some clear lakes, but still, I mean, there's some murky lakes.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot to see. There's not a lot to see, but they're good. They're good enough for getting people certified. But they also did trips to the Caribbean. Ooh. And that I was an instructor. And they would send me to the Caribbean for weeks and send groups. So I would be like the local guy in the middle that would connect them to the resort. And I just one of the nights this dude handed me a cigar, and it was awesome. I remember just the whole thing, hanging with him, the cigar, the beautiful night. And this clicks. I really like this. Yeah, I spent most of the 90s smoking Cubans on the beach in the Caribbean.
So how did you transition from that to Mary? Like, what was that?
So even dream jobs kind of get boring. Things change. You witness or have a lot of close calls with hurricanes when you're there during that time of year. And your things change. So I just didn't want to go out that much anymore and spend weeks or months out there in between. So yeah, I came back to Bend and was going to do what most Bendites do and sign myself up for real estate classes.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And it was just timing. It was only like a month or so between. I told you, Steve got a hold of me and said, "We're opening a retail store. You want to come work at it?"
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be more fun than selling real estate.
Absolutely. Especially after the cigar that you had. Absolutely. Interesting. So how did you got two great guys working in the shop, Danny and Matthew, Mr. Carlson. How did you find them? They are good guys. I've really enjoyed getting to know them. They actually they have their own personalities. They bring a unique culture to the chapel. How'd you find those guys?
Dan is one of my oldest friends that I've known here in Bend. I met him years and years ago. He worked at the golf courses and liked to go up to the mountain and snowboard. So he's one of my best friends. And he was probably the second call I made once I found out that I was buying this place.
I was going to say, because he knows cigars. Like, he's got a good acumen on cigars.
Yeah. He came in. He worked for Mary and did he was on their wholesale side and worked the phones and did deliveries and things like that. So he was kind of thrust into it, but was loved cigars and just jumped right into it and learning more and smoking more. Nice. Yeah. I've been really lucky with employees. If it's not Dan, everyone else that's worked here has been basically a regular. There was a customer at one point that showed interest in wanting to work. And Mr. Carlson, Matt, great kid. He, I jumped on it when I found out he wanted to work because he's the most polite. Just the most friendly.
Oh my God. Totally.
And again, just really enjoys the cigar culture and is good again at finding cigar, matching people up to cigars with a few words and things that they give us.
Yeah, no, he's really good. And I think yours truly here, I think I've clocked in 4 hours of being an employee. And then I think you promptly fired me after that.
We had to have that filler for that Megadeth concert,
which apparently was a really good concert.
That was a lot of fun. Come back here. You're definitely on the roll call.
That's so funny. I think it was either Lee or Joe. Somebody was like, after I closed up shop, they're like, yeah, you definitely get employee of the month. So I represented well, I think.
Good.
Nice. Yeah, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Robert, and it was a very unique question. I'd never asked it before, but just given all his travels, I figured this might be a nice question to ask you. So, where's the scariest place you've ever been?
Gosh. And why? My mind immediately started when you said you asked Robert this. I was afraid you're going to ask me. So I guess it would have to be we were going to Cozumel, Mexico, and we missed a flight. So we had to do all this scrambling to get ourselves there. New flights, we had to stay overnight at two different areas. And I don't, because this was a long time ago, but this was Mexico. We landed and we had to stay the night. And it was the sketchiest shit that I ever saw. We definitely had dudes following us. We were white dudes walking around with our suitcases. And we scrambled as quick as we could to get to our not very nice hotel that they set us up in. I've been pretty darn lucky. Either the people that I'm at or just the way I was raised, I feel confident in a lot of places that I'm at, you know?
Yes, I understand.
It takes other things around the creepy factor. To be honest, Portland is probably high up on that list. The last time I went to Portland, went to a Blazers show. We ended up downtown trying to go to Index to get some Nikes. And it was, man, it's not good.
I know. I grew up in Portland. It's a sad state of affairs. Let's just hope with the everything changing here real soon, they're going to get their act together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to get their act together. Okay, another question that I've been fielding. And here's the interesting part too, because I actually saw a wedding picture of you and your lovely bride. So I have a little bit more context on this question. When did you start growing the beard? Because that is one fucking large, beautiful beard.
Thank you. Thank you. My kids are starting to gray it out pretty good. I don't know. I might have to do something about that.
No, don't. No. Don't be coloring that shit. No, you just let it go au naturel, my friend.
All right. But it doesn't, that's the problem, is it doesn't match, the carpet doesn't match the drapes. If I was gray on top, I would succumb to, or I'm graying out.
I believe analogy is speaking to something different, but I don't want to talk about your carpet.
What?
Anywho.
So, it was a no-shave November, and I just bailed on the razor completely. I'll do this. What the hell? And I never really, I kind of always had a goatee, but I never really grew a beard. It was kind of, I don't know, patch. I just never let it grow out and do it. And right before my daughter was born, I got super lazy for a while, and I kind of realized I think I can grow a beard. And it was a couple years after that, actually, I think when my son was born, that no shave November, I said, yeah, I'm not going to shave. See what happens. And I like not shaving. So I just decided to let it go.
Have you ever entered a competition?
I think we're about 9 years, maybe. I've been growing it.
I mean, that son of a bitch is long. I mean, do you have a threshold? I mean, how far are you going to let that thing go?
It's kind of funny, and you'll hear this from other people with long beards. At some point, it kind of stops growing. It just realizes this is all we're getting. And it did that. It stopped growing for a couple years, and it was about half of what it is now. And the only thing that I can think of that changed in my life was we got a hot tub, and I use it a lot. I don't know if sitting in the hot tub, water, moisture, humidity, but my beard started growing again. And, I cut a couple inches off about every quarter. About every 3 months or so, I cut a couple inches off, try to keep it in there.
Interesting. I don't know. Have you ever entered like a beard competition?
No.
Well, you should. No. Don't they have one in Bend? I feel like they do.
I think they used to a couple of years ago. I haven't really heard anything.
Oh, okay.
But throw it up there. Hmm. What the heck?
Interesting. Well, I learned we're going to switch gears again. So I'm here at the Hideaway, like I told you before, and I was talking to the guys here. You know, they're only open till I think 5:30, Monday through Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, they open at 7 a.m.
What?
Uh-huh. They open at 7 and they close at 5:30. So, of course, I had to ask.
I'll let you finish because that's probably my question.
Yeah, no worries. Well, because this is such a golfing community, right? So a lot of guys want to come in, get their cigar, maybe have a coffee, maybe have a pastry, and then they're out.
Yeah, right? It's hot and there. Yeah, they're done golfing by the time I open up.
Well, and then most everybody's got, you know, an outside patio, right? Mm-hmm. So in the afternoons, why would you be here? You're going to be at your house smoking on your patio. And so it's kind of interesting, although Melissa likes it because I'm not here anytime really past 5 and then you're done.
She knows where to find you.
Yeah, well, she knows where to find me and Ben too. So. Interesting. Yeah, so. Yeah, different cultures for sure. So what's next for the chapel? I saw you did add some room to your humidor, right?
Yeah, we had to add some more shelves. I'm meeting with a realtor in about 45 minutes.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Okay, wait, hold up. This is like Fox breaking news. This is actually happening.
Yeah. I think we're going to pull the trigger this year. I think we need to. We're full every day, which is awesome. But we need more room for more new customers. So.
Okay, congratulations, my friend. That is so cool. And I will say, at least when I was there, you know, a couple weeks ago, in the last couple months, yeah, that weather turns, man, your shop is hopping. So many people, and we all want to be there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's super exciting. And you got a couple spots. I'm not asking where they are, but you got a couple spots
in mind. I don't know anything about them, but yeah, we'll find that. Those will be the quick ones. But then letting the real estate people do their job and finding all the other nooks and crannies that aren't obvious. And Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I want to stay central. I'm still going to be kind of midtown. I don't want to be buried east, south, northwest, anywhere.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, easy to access.
Well, dude, that is super exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, breaking on between two humidors. You heard it, folks. You're actually meeting with a real estate agent. Dude, that's so awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, I appreciate
it. Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Appreciate the breaking news. That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
That is great. Well, I'm actually smoking a LFD Double Agarro here.
Ooh, that's pretty heavy first thing in the morning. How you feeling?
Dude, I feel great. It is a good, rich cigar. It is Yeah.
That's a good way to wake up. Boom.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, I remember when I was having a conversation with Jeremy McDonald there with Wildfire. He was early on in when he came and visited, which, by the way, the next time he comes to visit Bend, I need to go out with y'all because apparently that's a night to remember. Or maybe actually you forget because you're blacked out.
Somewhere in the middle right there.
Yeah.
we tend to have a good time.
Yeah. Oh my God, that guy's a riot. But I remember when we were doing our conversation, I'm trying to remember the cigar that I had, but holy shit, I got the jitters. It was one hell of a cigar. God, it was really, really good. Anyway, I digress.
And sometimes it just depends on your body, you know, if you're hydrated, what was in there. It's been the last time I got a little stomach upset was actually a milder cigar. I don't know what did it, but yeah.
It's just interesting.
How your body's at.
Interesting. So let's talk about some business here for just a second. So you're going to be at the realtor. You're going to make a move. That sounds really exciting. With the recent presidential election and kind of the optimism over the next 4 years, is that kind of also going in your calculus? I know you're bursting out the seams, but do you, as a shop owner, for some time, you've seen the business cycles. Do you think we're on an upswing here, at least for the next couple of years?
Unfortunately, I think we're on the downswing a little bit. Talking to other shops and reps and things, a lot of shops are down a bit. And when I say down a bit, you kind of have to remember that we were all up quite a bit over the last 4 years. So pre-COVID, post-COVID. And as long as we're still at post-COVID numbers, we're all doing really well. And from the companies, they say their imports have dropped a little bit. Some of the shops are saying that their sales have dropped a little bit. We're really, really lucky, blessed, if you will. We're still over last year. We're still doing well. I don't want to really say a bubble, but we're a little different here. And I think I think there'll be still a little bit of growth, but even just keeping steady and just having more room.
Okay. Excellent. And your new website is now online. Is that correct?
It is. It's still being tweaked and built, but yes, we finally got the website online, cigarchapel.com. So that, we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. In fact, I think I know the guy that helped you with that.
I think you do. Yes.
Well, and websites—they're a living, breathing thing. They always take maintenance. They always take upkeep. So, yeah, I mean,
I've got a new kid.
It's true, and you got to nurture it. Blah 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 blah. So anyway, well, that's good. That's good. And you're also on Instagram too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the socials. Instagram, X, Facebook. I'm not a big fan of social media, so we haven't been using it a lot recently. But again, we're highly regulated. Even on Facebook, posting a picture, they get yanked. It's disheartening. Yeah. On Instagram, Facebook's a little worse. But now, again, with the change of regime, you heard what Zuckerberg is actually said that they're dropping. I kind of have a little more hope for it in the cigar industry part.
Yes.
In social media, again, being able to simply just post pictures without being taken down, saying we're violating terms and stuff.
Community rules or something, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, awesome. We do plan to get back into the social media again here this year and, make use of that tool.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's see here. I think the last, who did you host recently? When's the last, cigar? I know, Juan Lugo lives in Bend. He's Don Doroteo. So
a big old party with him this spring. That should be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, mine's in the summer, so that's great. We'll do his in the spring. We'll do mine in the summer. No, it's going to be August, actually.
It'll be a smaller from your party, but
Who's your last visitor? Who's your last visitor?
My last visitor. Looking in the humidor, sometimes I have to remind myself by going through there. We've had some. I would have to say the last owner or such would probably be Caldwell that's been here. We've had some rep deals where the rep comes and does that. Yeah, but. And I think we got we don't have a date, but I think Matt Booth is coming out soon. His new 15th anniversary is actually starting to see the light of day, so I think we might have a little shindig with that.
And he's definitely a friend of the chapel.
Yeah. Both those guys, they're Caldwell and him, really proud of what they've done. With their business and
they should be
with their life and all that. They're both in great places right now. Personally, it's a great place to be.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely. In fact, I am trying to get Matt Booth on the podcast, so I'll have to re-energize those efforts.
Yes. We'll see what we can do about that.
Perfect. Okay. Well, that's good. So the 15th anniversary cigar, where can you find that? Are you going to have it?
I will have them. They're not dropping until the end of February.
Okay. It's probably going to be a good stick, huh?
Yeah, should be.
Excellent. All right, my friend. So this shop is hopping. I kind of feel like we might be at a good place to land this plane. By the way, there's a barber shop behind me, too.
Yeah.
So we got a barber shop. We got TVs. It's like there's a lot going on in here. Hopefully the audio has been okay.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. But yeah, we actually have a couple people waiting to get in here too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's get them some cigars. John, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely. Good. Good. Well, continued success to the chapel. You've done an amazing job. Regardless of people not finding you, the Cigar Chapel is an institution in Bend. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, man. We will see you soon.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye.